I hope you brought your lunch, because I've got a lot of notes here we have to cover today. Not really. Anyway. Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for coming today. And somebody said this is Palm Sunday. I don't have a Palm Sunday message, but it is Palm Sunday. So anyway, so. But actually what I'm doing, Pastor Teeb asked me if I would, we had a men's retreat. Well, we were scheduled for a men's retreat, but it got canceled because of COVID. So four or five guys had put together messages, Bible studies for the men's retreat. And Steve was going to start out on Friday night with the faithfulness of God, and asked me if I would do the faithfulness of man to God. And so I said I would be happy to do that. So we put it all together. And instead of just letting it go by the wayside, he asked me if I would do it today. So we're diverting from our Romans study, but we're going to be studying about the faithfulness of God to man, or man to God, I should say. And where do we find faithfulness? First of all, it's in God himself. That's where faithfulness is. And 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. When we say God is faithful, we mean in large part that he always does what he says he will do. So he's faithful in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, he who calls you is faithful, he will surely do it. So who has called us? God. Okay? He's faithful, and he will cause whatever he says, whatever he does, to come to pass. So Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. I don't have any slides or anything, so you guys just have to bear with me. Isaiah 55, 10, 11 says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water, to water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we see here that God's faithfulness is not dependent on our faithfulness. He will continue to be faithful even if we're not faithful. So this can be a little bit confusing unless you understand the following. This phrase in 2 Timothy, it says, if we are faithless, is in the present tense, indicating a settled state of refusing to believe in Jesus and to obey him. So if we are faithless, in other words, we're refusing to, you know, submit ourselves to Jesus, we're in a settled state of refusing to believe in him and to obey him. But whatever we do, he is going to remain faithful, because it says he cannot deny himself. His faithfulness, God's faithfulness, is eternal. So no word that goes out from God's mouth comes back to him empty or void or untrue. With a faithful God, what you hear or what you read is what you get. So this morning, we're going to look at the faithfulness of man, segueing over not only to God, but also to his fellow man. Okay? So I found this list of benefits of being faithful. I don't have any scripture references for this, but I think we'll all agree that they are true. But first, we need to consider what I said before, what I just read, that if we are faithless, is in the present tense, indicating a settled state of refusing to believe in Jesus and to obey him. If we are faithless in that state, God preserves, protects, and guards those who are faithful, those who continue to believe in Jesus and to obey his commands. God makes promises and fulfills his promises to those who are faithful, who continue to believe in Jesus and to obey his commands. God blesses those who are faithful. God strengthens those who are faithful. God guides those who are faithful. So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. We cannot deny Jesus, and we must keep allegiance to him. We can't just deny him and expect him to be faithful to us. We have to follow after Jesus, obey his commandments. So, but if anyone does fall away, it doesn't change who God is. We realize that. Just because we're faithless doesn't change God. He remains faithful. That's what we got to understand. So it's a terrible thing to when people who name the name of Jesus show themselves unfaithful. Many have been turned off from Jesus, as we probably have all experienced, because of the hypocrisy of those who take his name. But all the faithlessness of man doesn't disprove the faithfulness of God. He is faithful. That's what we have to realize. So a faithful man, whether this faithfulness is to God or to man, in his own imperfect way, he reflects that trustworthiness that we have not only in God, but that we want people to have in us because we're faithful to God. Okay, so Romans 12, 18, I'm using this verse, it's not out of context, but I wanted to use one phrase in this verse that helps me with my message here. So it says, Romans 12, 18 says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So as far as it depends on you is the phrase I wanted to use out of that. And I found it explained very well in the Psalm of David in chapter 15. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. So there's a question, first of all, in verse 1. It says, O Lord, who may lodge as a guest in your tent? Who may dwell continually on your holy hill? And the answer in the following verses, he who walks with integrity and strength of character and works righteousness and speaks and holds truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In his eyes, an evil person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord and obediently worship him with awe-inspired reverence and submissive wonder. He keeps his word, even to his own disadvantage, and does not change it for his own benefit. I love that verse. He does not put out his money at interest to fellow Israelite, and he does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken. So even though faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit that we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22, I'm going to read that to you, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, goes on, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So we all have the opportunity, responsibility, I should say, of living out this fruit of the Spirit in our daily walk with Jesus. That's a fruit of the Spirit. We have to live it out. We have to abide and be obedient to Jesus and live this out. So making it personal, when we as, oh no, I want to put this thing in there. I did this message for the men up there. So sometimes I'll say men, but what I really mean is men and women because it applies to all of us. So, all right. So I just wanted you to know that. So anyway, when we as faithful men and women say we will do something, whether as significant as deciding to love my husband or my wife for life, remember, until death do us part, or as trivial as taking out the trash, washing the dishes, vacuuming the carpet, cleaning the window screens. That's a little thing that's happening at our house. My wife took the window screens off about, 2 months ago? They're still sitting in the garage. Would you clean these for me? I'm messing up my thing here, you know, but whoever is listening to this, you don't need to wonder whether I will actually do it or not. I will do it. I will do it. So I don't need a constant oversight or regular, you know, reminders or daily prodding to fulfill my responsibilities. Okay. Nor do I need to add an extra assurances on top of that, you know, of that bare word that I said in order to win trust. A simple yes or no will suffice. Now, have I told you lately that I love you? My wife does this to me a lot. Have I told you lately that I love you? It doesn't hurt to hear that. In other words, it should not be as you might have heard someone say, I told you when we got married that I love you. If that changes, I'll let you know. That's not a good deal, you know. So we need to voice that to our loved ones, you might say. I remember my daughter, Michelle, who lives in Seattle. I text her and I said, have I told you lately that I love you? And she texts back, well, I guess you just did. That's my daughter, Michelle. You know, I guess you just did, she said. So, anyway, Matthew 5:37 says, "But let your yes be yes and your no be no, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one." So faithfulness is not all that difficult to understand, but to live it out, that's another story, right? Anyway, and ours is not the first age to struggle with this idea of faithfulness or unfaithfulness. Some 3,000 years ago, I believe it was Solomon who said in Proverbs 20, verse 6, "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" Kind of a heavy verse, isn't it? "Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find? A righteous man who walks in his integrity, blessed are his sons after him." So many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find? This was Solomon. So what we say about ourselves, it's kind of interesting. It is frequently taught and widely believed in our time that the greatest of human problems is low self-esteem. Have you ever heard that? They have low self-esteem. Exponents of this view tell us that people go wrong because they despise themselves or regard themselves as worthless and unlovable. So the words that we have just read from the ancient Proverbs seem to point in a different direction. They suggest the tendency in us to extol our own virtues, to think of ourselves more highly than is appropriate. They express the pervasive human inclination, which the Bible calls pride, actually. So it's striking to see how a number of findings in contemporary psychological studies support strongly this latter view. In other words, to think of ourselves more highly than we ought or than is appropriate. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty, we read in Psalm or Proverbs 20, verse 6. Many a person professes unfailing love. Think of how we tend to compare ourselves with other people. These tests or surveys show that in every quality that is socially desirable, most of us rate ourselves as better than average. Most business people evaluate themselves as more ethical than the average person in business. Get this. When 829,000 college students were asked to assess their ability to get along with others, 0% saw themselves as below average. Imagine that, not a single one below average. 60% put themselves in the top 10%, and 25% rated themselves in the upper 1%, that is, their ability to get along with others. It bears out what the writer William Saroyan once rightly said. He said, every man is a good man in a bad world, as he himself knows. I thought that was interesting. Or listen to Albert Camus. The idea that comes most naturally to man, as if from his very nature, is the idea of his own innocence. I think we can all relate to that, you know. So, and like those of whom the proverb speaks, most of us tend to overestimate how nobly and desirably we will act in the future. As a researcher once, they called residents in this Indiana city and asked each to volunteer 3 hours to the American Cancer Society drive. Only 4% of the residents agreed to do so. So they called all these people. 4% said, yes, I will volunteer to do that. Meanwhile, a comparable group of other residents were being called and asked to predict how they would react if they were to receive such a request. Well, the request being to volunteer for 3 hours to an American Cancer Society drive. Remember, only 4% of the residents agreed to do so. But in the second group, almost 50% of them claimed that they, in those circumstances, would help. So 4% actually did it, but when they called them, 50%, half of them said, yeah, I'll help, you know. So many a man proclaims his own loyalty. Goes back to that. So let's apply that now to promises which many of us make. If you've ever been married, you probably vowed at the time to be a loving, faithful wife or husband until your life's end. If you've been married, you made that vow. The question, Have you been loyal to your spouse? Or have you deceived him or her? Are you still following through on the commitment you made on your wedding day? Again, if you're a professing Christian, there came a time when before God and before your fellow believers, you acknowledged your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and your intention to obey him as your Lord. You proclaimed your loyalty. The question, what has happened since then? Something we need to think about. Are you still following that course, still making obedience to Christ your chief aim in life? We find it desperately easy to deceive ourselves about how loyal we will be to our family and friends and to the one we call Lord. Good example of that, as we all know and heard many times, Simon Peter was certain, for example, that he would remain faithful to Jesus even if everyone else in the world turned away from him. And he said as much. He proclaimed loudly that he would follow his master even to prison or to death. Well, all of us know what subsequently happened. Peter not only failed miserably, he dishonored the Lord more flagrantly than his brethren did. So that loyalty thing again. I'll do it. No wonder the writer of the Proverbs goes on to raise a sobering question. He says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty, but a faithful man who can find? Okay. Many promise to be loyal, but how many prove to be loyal? No. The U.S. Marine Corps in its advertising announces that the Marines are looking for a few good men. That's all they're looking for, is a few good men. The scripture suggests that the search may not be so easy. Good men, loyal men, faithful men or women may be hard to find. Think of God's search for righteous people. Once when his servant Abraham stood before him interceding for the city of Sodom, where his nephew Lot was, God promised that if he could find 10 righteous in the entire city of Sodom, he would spare the whole population of that city. Apparently, he didn't find them because swift judgment followed. Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, sparing only Lot, Lot's wife, and his two daughters. Not 10, but 4. But then we have to add this one. The fact is, because Lot's wife disobeyed and looked back at the city, like she was told not to look back, she was turned into a pillar of salt. So God considered only 3 righteous out of that whole city. Find 10, he told Abraham, you find 10, I won't destroy the city. Found only 3. He destroyed the city. Centuries later, he urged his prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. He says, run to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. See now and know and seek in her open places. If you can find a man, if there is anyone who executes judgment, who seeks the truth, and I will pardon her. But the city, sad to say, was not spared. Apparently, one couldn't be found. It's amazing, isn't it? According to the psalmist, God looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any that act wisely and seek after God. Psalm 53:2. Here's the sobering result. In verse 3, they have all fallen away. They are all alike depraved. There is none that does good. No, not one. And that's our state before God, especially before we come to know Jesus and receive him as our sacrifice. There's not one good. The question comes up again, a faithful man who can find. Among all those who profess to be true, who is really trustworthy? This proverb was written by a wise man seasoned by experience and by long observation of human ways. We know who this man is, Solomon. He went through the whole gambit. So he saw a lot and was very wise, the wisest man on earth at that time. He had seen people, perhaps known them, who had professed to be friends but who had proved false. He saw spouses unfaithful to their marriage vows and the people of God violating their covenant commitments that they had made. And so, in spite of all the glowing protestations that he has heard, he wonders aloud, a faithful man who can find? Pretty grim, isn't it? But not to be discouraged. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, blessed are his sons after him. During desiring a reputation for faithfulness without actually being faithful or expecting others' trust without living in a trustworthy manner, these temptations are as ancient as well as modern. It's happened all through time. We don't need to wonder why. For one, true faithfulness grows slowly. It reveals itself not in a day or a week or in a month, but over years, many years, sometimes even over your whole lifetime. So as you've heard before, almost any man can sprint for 100 yards, but only faithful men or women can run the slower, lifelong race of faith without giving up or being distracted. Faithfulness is also, you know, pretty hard work. Many days come when faithful men would rather or prefer a different course than the one in front of them. Like when they would rather take a break from killing their sin, pursuing their wives, disciplining their children, laboring at their job, you know, but while other men say, I'm just not feeling like it today, might get up some mornings feeling like that, I just don't really feel like it today, and retreat to the couch or turn on the TV. Instead, these faithful men get on their knees, plead with God, and do the next thing, the right thing, okay? As Pastor Steve was saying in a message a few weeks ago, what's easier? Taking time to read and actually study your Bible consistently, spending time in prayer seeking the Lord, or sleeping in or picking up a good book or a magazine or turning on the TV. Anybody ever had that experience before? There's your Bible. There's the book. You know, so it really all boils down to habit and discipline and, of course, priorities, doesn't it? What's our priority? And habit. Very, very important. I was talking to Pastor Steve one day, and he said, you know, it really is a matter of habit a lot of times. Like getting up in the morning and saying, okay, I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to study. I'm going to pray. And you do that, you know, what do they say? I don't know, 20 days or 30 days. A habit becomes the natural thing that you do. So it's not something that you just can do today and then tomorrow, I don't know, I'm going to read the book, whatever. It's a habit. It's a thing that you've got to get into, and it has to become a priority for you. So anyway, finally, faithfulness is often thankless. By its very nature, it goes largely unnoticed, rarely showy, but ever steady. Someone said, a faithful man is as valuable and yet as inconspicuous as a beating heart. Thought that was a pretty good phrase. When you're talking to someone, how many of you notice the beating heart? And yet it's there, and it's there from the day you are conceived in the womb until the day you die, the beating heart. But we don't notice it, and that's the way faithfulness needs to be sometimes. You notice it, but it's not something that stands out. It's just a habit, a thing that happens all the time with you, so it's an important thing. Yet despite the difficulties that come with true faithfulness, I think we all will all agree that the world desperately needs such faithful men and women. Really does. Not just the world, but our friends and our families. We all need. So those whose word actually means something more than maybe. You ever had that person that says, yeah, I might be there. Yeah, I'll be there. And then they don't show up. You know, it's like, I need more than a maybe. I need to know that you're going to be there if you say you're going to be there. This is faithfulness, okay? So those whose resolve does not crumble before monotony or hardship, you know, those who keep covenant in marriage for a lifetime, those who do not flit from job to job, but who gladly plod on the same paths until God directs them elsewhere, you know. That's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? We try to get ahead of God, and yet God knows. So we need to wait for his leading on things like that. Those who burn to hear when they come to the end of their life here on earth, what? Well done, good and faithful servant. So I suppose the question arises, where does such faithfulness come from? How do men and women like us, faithless by nature, strive to, as 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, be found faithful? Well, number one, we can begin by remembering the place where faithfulness grows and the person whom faithfulness glorifies, and that is Jesus. And where does faithfulness grow? It grows in responsibilities and tasks that feel small, very unimportant and ordinary. In other words, in the little things. So many men dream of much, you know, of family legacies, of lasting ministries, great awakenings, large followings. And truthfully, whether God glorifies his name through us in these ways is ultimately up to him. It's not up to us. You just remain faithful. But one thing is certain, at our end of it anyway, is fickleness in little will never produce faithfulness in much. Jesus gives us the principle in Luke 16, verse 10. He says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote, he said, it is the mark of a grown-up man, as compared with a callow youth, that he finds his center of gravity wherever he happens to be at the moment. And however much he longs for the object of his desire, it cannot prevent him from staying at his post and doing his duty. Now, Bonhoeffer's post at the time of this writing, his writing, was a prison cell. So our post at the moment, though maybe less confining, may, you know, it might still feel constricting to us. Whatever that may be for you, and no matter how small it is, how small it may seem to you. But here, wherever you are in this post, is in this place of very little, is where we learn to be faithful. Not in the big things, it's in the little things that God wants us to be faithful. So each act of faithfulness, no matter how unseen and seemingly insignificant, is simply a stepping stone. The Apostle Paul told us in Ephesians 6:8, he says, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive this back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So be convinced that God, you're going to be rewarded for your faithfulness, okay? Someone also said, the faithfulness that so often goes unnoticed on earth will by no means be forgotten in heaven. In every faithful word to your family, in every hour of Bible reading or Bible study preparation, in every small but painful conversation that seems to backfire on you, when many times, maybe some of you can relate, in a conversation, all you're really trying to do is love someone, and it backfires on you. It's like, what happened here, you know? So those kinds of things. So again, the question arises, are you pleasing the Lord? That's the bottom line. Can you hear the first whispers of, well done, good and faithful servant? That's what we're longing for. That's what we're longing to hear. Can you grasp the promise that every faithful work will be found in heaven's ledgers? It's going to be there. And can you see, as you set one unremarkable stone on top of another, what you are building is by the grace of God? Our faithfulness here, even in a little, is no small matter. In the unremarkable moments of life, God is shaping his fickle sons and daughters into the image of his faithful one, Jesus. Okay? Every day, he forgives our lingering faithlessness, and every day conforms us to Christ's faithfulness. Now, there are many flawed men that we read about in the Bible who were faithful men. Joseph, although not much negative was ever said about Joseph in the Bible, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers, and yet by his faith in God, he triumphed and saved many people alive, it says. Samuel, after being totally dedicated to God by his mother, Hannah, Samuel went on to show tremendous faithfulness to God. A key verse in the life of Samuel relates his words to King Saul. He says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed is better than the fat of rams. I think that's such a great verse, because many of us think, oh, well, I did that, and I did that, and I did that, and I did it for the glory of, whatever. Just you need to obey. It's better than all the sacrifices that we could ever make, you know, physically or whatever. Obedience to God's word must always be the top priority that we have in our lives. So, another one, David, failing in many ways. Many ways. As we read about David, it's like, my goodness. And yet, was considered by God a man after his own heart. Doesn't that give us all hope? I would think that would give us all hope, you know. We got Peter, we got James, we got John, we got Timothy, and the Apostle Paul, and those not listed in the Bible, but listed in the Lamb's Book of Life. We've heard about D.L. Moody. We've heard about Billy Graham, Billy Sunday, Charles Wesley. All of these guys down through the ages. And the list goes on and on. And you know what? If you've confessed that you are a sinner and trusted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you are also on that list. Right up there with David and Samuel and Joseph and all of these guys that we talked about. Is that cool or what? We're on the list. Faithfulness does not mean that we're perfect. It does not mean that we won't struggle or that we won't make poor decisions, make mistakes. What it does mean is that we will continue to trust in God and try to follow His commandments, even when life is difficult. In conclusion, where we may fail, God will not. Our hope is in God and what He can do through us. Galatians, like I said, 5:22, I'll read that one more time, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Philippians 2:13, reading from the New Living Translation, it says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Trusting in Him. That's all that counts. Being faithful to God and listening to and obeying His word. So, anyway, Jackie, would you come on up to close out? I wanted to say today that if you've never come to the realization that you are a sinner, we're all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 10:9-10 and 13 says, the word is near you and in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For the scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I hope this message, teaching, has been an encouragement to you. Our faithfulness is all dependent on our trust in God. That's what we need to do, is trust in God. So why don't we bow our heads? Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. And really, we don't really do it this way very often, but it's on my heart today. Maybe if you've felt a tug on your heart and your mind today, and you would like to make a commitment to follow Jesus today, I would just ask that if that's on your heart right now, if you would just open your eyes and look up at me right now, I promise that I will not embarrass you. You just look at me. See that? God bless you. You can bow your head and close your eyes. I would like us all to just say this prayer, especially those that have looked up at me. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, as the scripture says, I know that I'm a sinner. And I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. And from this moment forward, I turn from my sins and I invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior today. And if any of one of you has come to the point in your life right now where you feel like, you know, I've kind of drifted away, I've kind of messed up. As I've heard and said before, I don't care how far you walk away from God. When you turn around that 180 degrees, God is right there. He is not far away. He's right there. He's right there with you. Amen. If anyone needs prayer, at the end of the service, we'll be up here to pray with you. And you can come up after the closing of this song. God bless you all. Hope you have a great day, okay?